This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. This is Assaults Against Jesus Christ, number 2, the Gospel of Judas, number 2. And we will have several more, not on the Gospel of Judas, but next time I'm going to do one on Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and the Jesus Papers. Now, when we look at the whole, what I want you to do is look at how Satan is orchestrating all of these things to come down, to create a public opinion against Jesus. Anything to do with Jesus, and to promote his way. Now consider this for a minute. If you rehabilitate Jesus, who else do you rehabilitate? If you rehabilitate Judas, you rehabilitate Satan. That's right. Because after all, he can present a side of the story that he's misunderstood. Now, let's look at a couple of other things as we go along. Remember, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the faith in the earth? Now, you can apply that doctrinally. You can apply that for those who believe in Jesus, even in a nominal way. You can apply that to the church, because at the end time you have the Laodicean church, which is lukewarm. You also have the situation where we need to put all the prophecies together in this. Daniel said that knowledge will increase. Not only will the knowledge of God increase as he gives us understanding with his word, and he's promised that he would, but also the knowledge not only of things technological, but also of things in the past. And what we are seeing is this: Satan operates in cycles and repeats. Now let's look at what was happening right as the New Testament church was coming to its conclusion during the days of the apostles. Let's come to 1 John, and let's see what John says. And what we're going to discover is this, is that just before the close of the apostolic age, and we say the apostolic age ends with the death of John. And this is why it's important with the New Testament that everyone reads all the commentaries, chapter 1 through 15, because this helps you understand a very major thing that God has done. How he's preserved his word, why the apostles were the only ones to finish it. Now, we'll discuss about this a little later, and this will help us understand why people are so interested in things like the Gospel of Judas, and why they are giving equal time to it with the New Testament. You would think, oh, no one would give equal time to it, but they do. See? And some other things that go along with that. Now, we get some hints of this because what we will understand from the Gospel of Judas is this. We will understand the movement called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism, basically, as we will see, is this. God is the immanent God who is transcendent, who has no form. Now you see, when Satan wants to subvert a church of God, the first thing he does is change the nature of God. And that's what happened in the downfall of the largest church of God in modern time. They first of all changed the nature of God, then they changed the Bible that they use, they changed the interpretations that they had, and they brought in mild Gnostic doctrines. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about Gnosticism, but it has to do with light and dark. So we can see here in John, the first chapter, beginning in verse 5, that 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, that John is fighting against the Gnostics of his day. Because, see, Gnosticism goes way back. Gnosticism, actually, when you understand it, begins in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Gnostic or Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. And what was the tree they ate of? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was a way to come to be as God without having to do it God's way. And that would be the best way you could explain Gnosticism. Because they say, now, if you haven't read the book, Primitive Christianity, you need to read it. Now, you see, a lot of people say, well, I can't keep up on all this reading. Well, maybe you ought to apply yourself a little more, because a lot of knowledge is coming down, and it is affecting the churches of God, which we'll cover at another time, but it's affecting the churches of God this way. There is a movement within the churches of God by men who were high-ranking ministers in the past, who are now teaching that Jesus was not God before he became a human being. And because people are ill-equipped, unstudied, socialized in a church setting, they are not ready for these kind of things. And they are falling for it. And that's why I've mentioned how many times, if you want to know where Jesus came from and who he was before he was human, read the Gospel of John. And the first chapter tells you all you need to know. The rest of the New Testament confirms it. See? Now, what we also have in the world scholars who do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And this is what opens the door for things like the Gospel of Judas to have equal footing. Now here, 1 John 1 and verse 5. And this is the message that we heard from him. That is from Christ. So that's why it's important that you go back and you read and study the Gospels. Now we have a handy tool for it. It's called the Harmony of the Gospels. And what you will find if you read the commentary before why this was written was because an organization called the Jesus Seminar, with some of the leading scholars in the world who are historians and some theologians, having put the New Testament down as very questionable, and the whole Gospel of John was not accepted, so they put out a book called the Five Gospels, which puts the Gospel of Thomas with the four Gospels. Now you see, that's why you have to know what is the message of Jesus Christ. That's what you have to know. What did he teach? Especially concerning salvation, human nature, and eternal life. Salvation comes by what? Repentance and forgiveness, receiving of the Holy Spirit, enduring to the end after growing in grace and knowledge and character, and you wait what? The resurrection. All those who believe in the immortality of the soul have some level of Gnosticism in their belief. Because the Gnostics say which Alan Knight brings out in his book, Primitive Christianity, that all of us were up here in the stars with the immanent God, and that spark of life was put into human beings, and that spark of life in you is God. And that is light. So that spark of light that is in you needs knowledge. And you can work your own way to return back to heaven. Which, if you want to see the ultimate of that, that's reincarnation through Hinduism and various religions like that. So you see, one of the earmarks of Satan's way is the immortality of the soul and going to heaven. And also, light and dark. So let's read it, verse 5. It said, we have heard from him and are declaring to you. So they didn't teach anything other than what Jesus taught and inspired them to do and led them to do with the Spirit of Truth. That God is light and there is no darkness at all in him, because Gnostics say that the earth, being material, was created by a lesser God. And Jesus, if he's creator of the earth, is a lesser God. So this is all the background by it, you see. Now, follow along with the rest of it. If we proclaim we have fellowship with him, which Gnostics do through knowledge, but we are walking in darkness, that is, not walking in the light of the truth of God, we are lying to ourselves and we're not practicing the truth. However, if we walk in the light, and that's why John wrote in the first chapter of the Gospel of John that Jesus was the true light. So here he is fighting against Gnosticism. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his own son, cleanses us from all sin. We see Gnostics say you don't have a sinful nature because you have the spark of the divine within you, and all you need is knowledge to release it. Now, we'll talk about how this has to do with Judas and the Gospel of Judas and Jesus a little later. If we say we do not have sin, which is what the Gnostics say, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So all of this is fighting Gnostic doctrine, as we will see later. Now, also one of the things that the Gnostics teach, which we find here in parts of the Gospel of Judas, and I read the whole thing. I got the book from National Geographic, and I read the whole Gospel of Judas, and it's not as sensational as they try and make it to be, but I'll talk about that a little bit later on. Gnostics do not believe that it's necessary to keep the commandments of God. And they say, and you have to know God through knowledge or Gnosticism. Now, listen to this. Verse 3, chapter 2. By this standard, we know that we know him. Because that's the whole basis of Gnosticism, to know God. And it's just like the modern pick you up by your own bootstraps kind of thing. Positive thinking, know yourself, know your better self, get in touch with your better self, and you're going to be fine. Well, Gnosticism says, get in touch with the divine that's within you. Because God is in everything, and he's in you. You don't have to keep the commandments, you just need knowledge so you can be in touch with God. So John is setting the record straight. By this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And this is direct reference, as we're going to see, to Gnosticism. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected, and by this means we know we are in Him. See, because the Gnostics say, you only know God through the secret things that we tell you. And that's exactly what the problem was in Colossians, the second chapter, as we have covered. Okay? Now let's continue on here in chapter 2. Now let's pick it up here in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. Now for them it was the last time, the coming of the end of the apostolic age. This is also a prophecy for us at the end time, for us to know that there's going to be a repeat of what happened there. Just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have risen up, by which we know that it is the last time. And these were all the Gnostics, claiming to be Christian. See, just like today, what do we have? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of groups and sects that all claim to be Christian, with myriad practices and beliefs and so forth. But they're not. See, because unless you keep the commandments of God, and we'll throw in there the Sabbath and holy days, then you have varying degrees of Gnosticism. Now, verse 19. They went out from among us because as long as the truth was being preached, they couldn't stay there. But they were not of us, because if they were of us, they would have remained with us. Nevertheless, they left that they might be exposed to show that they were not of us. But you have the anointing from the Holy One. See, because the Gnostics believe you already, with the spark of divine in you, you already have the Holy Spirit. So he's making it clear that the anointing that we have is the Holy Spirit at baptism. And you have knowledge of all things. Obviously, that's not everything in the world, so that's why in translating it here, I put pertaining to salvation. Versus the Gnostics, who were saying they had the key to salvation. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and understand that not one lie comes from the truth. So therefore, when we examine any of these false gospels, we see the lies that are there because of the truth of the Word of God. Who is the liar if it is not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. And they deny both. They deny the Father, that he's not an individual. But what did Jesus say to Philip when Philip said, show us the Father? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, the Gnostics say that God is just transcendent spirit up in the stars. He has no form, he has no shape. So they're denying the Father. And they deny Christ and his sacrifice and his shed blood. And they deny Christ that he was God before he became human. All of those. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either, so then that includes Judaism as well as Gnosticism. And by the way, a lot of the Jews were Gnostics because there was Gnostic Judaism before the New Testament, a couple hundred years before the New Testament church. All right, let's come over here to chapter 4. Here's another earmark of them. Beloved, believe not every spirit, because these are demonic spirits going around. And there is a spiritual element and power behind them, and that is Satan, the devil, and the demons. But test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world, which tells you this. Behind every false prophet there is a false and lying spirit. You can hear this clearly in the so-called Christian religions today. Now, in the new book that's coming out, Catholic Church even boasts that it could have preached the gospel of Jesus or the gospel of salvation without the Bible. Quite a stunning quote. Okay. And so here you have the same thing with the Protestants. First thing they say when they get in the pulpit is that Jesus didn't mean this. Most people believe that Jesus changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. They believe it because they're told it. And what do they believe? They believe going to heaven. So all Protestantism, as Alan Knight wrote in his book Primitive Christianity, is a mild version of Gnosticism, which denies the Father and denies the Son while professing it. And you couldn't have anything more slick or lying than that, right? Give you another example of Protestant Gnosticism. What does the Bible say on how to receive the Holy Spirit? Repent and be baptized. Today, a lot of evangelicals say, well, you don't need that. All you have to do is believe. You don't need to be baptized. So they're denying Christ. They're denying baptism, so forth. And one of the young ministers on television, what's his name? Joel Osteen. He has the largest church in Houston, Texas. He says, I don't want to hear anything negative about anybody. I want you to all think on the good things that you are and that you can do, and that God loves you, and that all you have to do is really believe in Jesus and change your ways. Nothing about sin, nothing about repentance. And people gobble it up. All right, now here's what it leads to. Verse 2. By this test you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Very important. You tie that together with the other things, that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. That the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And as we've covered this, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the same kind of human nature and flesh that we have. Now notice verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not from God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was to come, and even now is already in the world. Then we notice something about the world and why the world is going to believe these things. Because you see, as I pointed out in the last sermon, in order for the world to believe the great delusion that is coming upon it, it's got to be prepared. Well, as we're going to see, all of these things are preparing the way for Satan's great deception. Now notice, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because they were battling against them and standing doctrinally against them, because greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. So this is telling us with the power of God's Spirit within us, we can withstand all of these assaults against the church in Christ. Now notice, they are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. We're of God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not of God does not listen to us, and by this means we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of the deception. And so this is what we are going to examine here. Now let's first of all look at a couple things here which are important. Let me read a little bit out of one of these books. I have two of them. The Secrets of Judas, the story of the misunderstood disciple and his lost gospel. The other book is The Gospel of Judas, published by the National Geographic. Now, this was planned big time. They had four scholars who understood Coptic and Greek work on piecing this thing together for years. And they had to sign an agreement of absolute secrecy so that the National Geographic Corporation could produce their so they could produce their docudrama about the Gospel of Judas. And when you listen to them very carefully, they really cannot come up with any sure proof. But they make it sound as if, as though it is true. Now, let me read from the fly leaf on the cover. For 1600 years, its message lay hidden. One book of the Gospel of Judas. When the bound papyrus pages of this lost gospel finally reached scholars who could unlock its meaning, they were astounded. Now you see, as I pointed out last time, there are a lot of religionists, there are a lot of scholars, don't believe that the New Testament is the Word of God. They do not believe that it was canonized by the apostles. They do not believe that it was canonized until almost 400 AD, 397 AD. And as we will see when we get to the next one on the Jesus papers, that is a lie that has been set up, which Satan is also now going to destroy, because I think he's going to reformulate the whole religious system in the world back to the lines of old Babylon the Great. So this is going to be a bigger thing than we have ever imagined. Now, continuing here. Here was a gospel that had not been seen since the early days of Christianity. Notice how they phrase it. And which few experts had even thought existed. A gospel told from the perspective of Judas Iscariot, history's ultimate traitor. And far from being a villain, the Judas that emerges in its pages is a hero. Amazing, isn't it? And aren't people all in to analyzing and accepting many, 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 many different propositions on an equal basis? Now, as we will see, let's compare the difference. Let's compare the difference between what the apostles were told to do and which Christ led them to do and which results in the New Testament which we have today, and why the Gospel of Judas lay buried for 1600 years. Now let's go to Matthew 28. Here's what they were to do. And let's ask the question. If it is truly the gospel of Jesus Christ, it will be preached, right? What did Jesus say in Matthew 24 and Mark 13? And this gospel of the kingdom, what? Shall be buried in the desert for 1600 years. No. He said, shall be preached in all the world. Now let's read the last couple of verses here. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the completion, unto the completion of the age. Amen. Look at the fruits. Has that happened? Yes. Let's come to Mark 13 and let's ask the question, has this happened? Compared to the Gospel of Judas, one, broken down, almost destroyed by age and deterioration, codex of the Gospel of Judas, and everyone gets all excited about it because they refuse to believe Jesus Christ and refuse to believe that he actually preserved his word, caused it to be disseminated. Now here, Mark 13, and let's pick it up here in verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Question. Compared to the one tattered, old, buried in the desert for 1600 years, Gospel of Judas, and let's throw in all the library of Nag Hammadi, which was discovered in 1945, we'll cover some of those a little bit, all of those false gospels. Okay. Which has been published in all the world? How many billions of Bibles and New Testaments are there in the world compared to the one Gospel of Judas? So we can conclude that compared to the one little Gospel of Judas, the Gospel of Jesus Christ contained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the whole New Testament with the epistles of Paul, the general epistles, and the book of Revelation, have been published and distributed in the world in untold numbers. Because Jesus said it would be. Now, the true Jesus of the Gospels and of the New Testament and the Bible, his word bears out by the fruits that what he said would happen, right? Yes. What else did he also say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now let's come to Luke 24. Luke 24. We've read this many times. Now let's pick it up here in verse 44, because you see, this is critical to understand. Gnosticism rejects the Old Testament. The false Jesus rejects the Old Testament. What did the true Jesus say when he began his ministry? Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. Okay, now, verse 44. Then he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all things which are written concerning me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. So whatever the gospel of Jesus Christ is, it must include the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Not a new version of knowledge through gnosis. Verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and we've given many sermons on how to understand the Bible. God's Spirit has to work with you to open your understanding for it. And he said to them, according as it is written, it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that in his name repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem, for you are witnesses of these things. Now, did it start at Jerusalem? Yes, it did. Did it go to all nations? Yes, it did. Where was the gospel of Judas? Well, at the time Jesus said this, it wasn't even written. And Judas was already dead. Now come to Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the first chapter. And let's see how far this was to reach. Now, what we're doing here is we're comparing. From the Word of God, did God and Jesus Christ fulfill their word in doing what they said they would do with the apostles and preaching the gospel, having it written, having it preserved to go to all nations, compared to the gospel of Judas, which lay buried for 1600 years in the desert? Now let's pick it up here. All right, let's come to verse 3. To whom also by many infallible proofs. Now you can read, put in your margin there, 1 Corinthians 15. We'll get to that a little later. Maybe not in this tape, but a little later. He presented himself alive after he had suffered. Now, let's think on this for a minute. And we'll come back to this a little later too. Number one, if the Romans had stolen his body out of the tomb, would they not have displayed it for everyone to see that he didn't rise from the dead? Yes. Number two, if the Jews also assisted them in that, would they not have displayed the body? Yes. And if, as some claim, which we'll see next time in the Jesus papers, he survived the crucifixion, and lived and died a natural death, do you not think that the religionist would have gotten his bones to dedicate cathedrals? Do they not have the bones of Mohammed and Buddha and popes and so-called saints? Remember what Jude wrote concerning Satan disputing with Michael, the angel, over the body of Moses. Why was there a dispute over the body of Moses? Because Satan wanted the body of Moses to create a false religion with his bones as the dedication to the main altar of what religion that Satan would have set up under the guise of the religion of Moses. So just think what Satan would have done with the bones of Jesus had he not risen from the dead. You see? And no one has produced any remnant of the body of Jesus. And since they don't believe what is written in the New Testament, 95% plus scholars reject what is in the New Testament. Now, we'll talk about that a little later and why they do and what this opens the door for. The closest that the Catholics have come to having any remnant of the body of Jesus is the so-called Shroud of Turin, which has been proved over and over and over again to be a fake. And how did they get the image on that? How did they get the image on the shroud? Well, there are various theories concerning it. However, Jesus did not have a shroud draped over him. His body was wrapped in linen cloth, probably from rolls about 9 inches wide. So you could not have an image on it. They even suspect that it was done by Michelangelo or someone similar to him. And they used a primitive type of photography to put some chemical on the cloth and then expose that image on it so it would be on the cloth. That's another one of those things that think about what they would have done if Jesus had not risen from the dead and there was a body and they did have bones. So you see, this is why it's important to understand that the witnesses that Jesus Christ chose. See, that's why you have to go back and understand that he was the Lord God of the Old Testament. He came to the earth in the flesh, received human nature like we did. He was crucified as a sacrifice for our sins. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead exactly as he said. And the only book which truly portrays this is the New Testament. Because of hatred for Jesus, the Jews wiped him clean from history, with the exception of some insertions in the history of the Jews by Josephus. And the historians say, okay, we won't accept the witnesses of the New Testament here because we can't trust them and we can't find the historical Jesus in history. So therefore, until we find the historical Jesus in history, we have no verification that he really lived and died. When the true witnesses are preserved in the New Testament, which they reject. So this is why it's very important what is written here. So he presented himself alive, verse 3, after he had suffered, being seen by them for 40 days, speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And while they were assembled with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days. So then, when they were assembled together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? So he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority. Now notice, verse 8 is the key thing. But you yourselves shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Very important. They are going to be the chosen witnesses of God, the Creator, the God of truth, the God of life. They were to be the witnesses. That's why the New Testament has been preserved, and their witness has been preserved to fulfill the rest of what he says here. Both in Jerusalem, that's where they began, and in Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. That's why there are more Bibles in the world than any other book to fulfill what Jesus said here. Now, here's a very simple little test that you can apply to all of the Bible and know that the words are true in it. Does what it say happen? And also, by how much of a magnitude of fulfillment does it take place? In the case of getting the gospel out and published, fantastic, right? Even in spite of men who want to change the Bible, they have not been successful. They have been successful to a certain degree, and they come under the curse of adding or taking away that you find there in Revelation 22. Now, compare that with the gospel of Judas, which lay buried for 1,600 years. Now, let me read a little bit more here. It says, Judas Iscariot is presented as a role model for all of those who wish to be disciples of Jesus. He is the one apostle who truly understands Jesus. Now think about this in relationship to what Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden. God doesn't know. I know. You can know. Okay. Same attitude. This volume is the first publication of the remarkable gospel since it was condemned as heresy by early church leaders, most notably Saint Irenaeus in 180 AD. Hidden away in a cave in Middle Egypt. Now, how's the word of God going to be preached in all the world if it's hidden away in a cave? Because it's not the word of God. The Codex or book containing the gospel was discovered by farmers in 1970. In the intervening years, the papyrus code was codex was bought and sold by antiquities traders, hidden away, carried away across three continents, all the while suffering damage that reduced much of it to fragments. In 2001, it finally found its way into the hand of a team of experts. You always got to have experts, see? Satan has his intelligentsia, his doctors of the law, his experts. And when they saw this, when I saw it on the National Geographic channel, the one man was, I think his name was Kaser or Kesser, something like that, and he just trembled. He was so thrilled to see this, you see. But they reject the word of God that has been published and made public to the whole world. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah, Kaser, PhD. And these experts would painstakingly reassemble and restore it. The Gospel of Judas has been translated from its original Coptic in clear prose and is accompanied by commentary that explains its fascinating history in the context of the early church, offering a whole new way of understanding the message of Jesus Christ. Now let's fast forward this and turn to the other side. Let's continue on with the so-called Gospel of Judas Iscariot. Let's talk a little bit about the canonization of the New Testament, the way that a lot of the agnostic and naturalists have defined that, and the Catholic Church goes along with it because that way it gives them control over the Bible. And they could claim that they have apostolic authority, which they have none. Because the truth of the matter is that every central doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church is based upon a lie. Surrounded with the name of Jesus the Father and the Holy Spirit and things like this. It is quite a highly developed form of Gnosticism. And they readily say that the New Testament was not finalized until 397 AD at the Council of Carthage. Not true. That's why you need to read chapters 1 through 8 of the commentary of the New Testament, because it will prove that the apostles canonized it. Because God chose them to do it. And God would not leave, as I've said before, the canonization of the New Testament to former pagan Gnostic priests who adopted the name of Christian. They didn't become Christian. They used the name Christian just like a lot of people do today and a lot of Gnostics do. And they claimed that the Gospels and everything in the New Testament except some of the letters of Paul were handed down by word of mouth. And they didn't start writing these things until the middle of the 2nd century AD. So therefore, we cannot trust them as to their authenticity or their truthfulness. Now, what does this do? Well, virtually it did very little until 1945, when they discovered what is now called the Nag Hammadi Library of various Gospels. And in this book, The Secrets of Judas, James M. Robinson, editor of the Nag Hammadi Library. Now, what this does is this. If it wasn't settled until 397 A.D., then why are these other Gospels, which were also written in the 2nd century A.D., not included? In other words, the Catholic Church, you have been partial and have excluded things which should be there because these Gospels are probably more original than the ones that's contained in the New Testament, which only a few scholars reject that idea. So the stage has been set. Now, let me give you some of the names of some of the other Gospels that are there. the Gospel of Thomas. And I've already preached on that. But here is what Ralph Poner, in an essay entitled Judas the Hero, quite correctly comments. This dialogue of Jesus with Thomas counts today as very important for the history of religion. Some researchers name the Book of Thomas the Fifth Gospel. And it could be that here even lies the original text from which the official Gospels were built. See what that opens the door for? Though the Gospel of Thomas is less a dialogue than a collection of 114 sayings ascribed to Jesus, it is indeed a very important discovery. That's from the Nakamati Library, no doubt the most important gospel outside the New Testament, and it may well have older readings than the same sayings in the canonical gospels. And what it does, it opens the door for the immortality of the soul, for going to heaven, for all of these things which are not taught in the New Testament. And in this sense, be nearer to Jesus himself. In fact, I for one have made just such an argument. Now here's some of the other gospels. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene. Now the Jesus seminar over here in Santa Rosa. Anyway, the founder of Jesus Seminar, his last name is Funk. I can't remember his name, his first name now. But he died. But now it's going to be carried on by others. And there was a woman who gave a whole seminar on the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and why it should be in the canonization of the New Testament. And you would be surprised how many scholars and how many churches have endorsed that. Okay. Now, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene also ties in with Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and the Jesus papers, which I'll talk about next time, that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene and actually had physical descendants. Now, why exclude the Gospel of Mary? And how about some of the other ones? Gospel of Thomas, then we have the Gospel of Philip, we have other ones, the Gospel of the Egyptians, which is here. It states, the Gospel of the Egyptians, the God-written holy secret book. Grace, understanding, perception, and prudence be with him who has written it. The beloved in the spirit. In the flesh, my name is Con Jesus, and my fellow lights in incorruptibility. Jesus Christ, Son of God. God-written is the holy book of the great invisible spirit. Amen. So you see, that's what they've done to Gnosticize the teachings of Jesus. Anybody can take the name of Jesus. Then we have here, then he lists some of the other ones. We have the Apocrypha of John. We have something by Matthew, something by Philip, and so forth, allegedly, but they didn't write them. But all of these were written during the second century AD. So, why were these not included? What did the Catholic Church have to hide in not including them, you see? So this is what it's going to, coupled with the Da Vinci Code and the Jesus Papers, is going to be a body blow to the Roman Catholic Church and also to all who believe in Jesus. Okay? Now, here are some of the other ones, yes. Gospel of Truth, the Hebrews, the Egyptians, and now the Gospel of Judas. Now, let me read some excerpts from this. Let's ask a question before we start reading in the book put out by the National Geographic. And all of this was done and timed for a media blitz to make lots of money. Okay. Let's ask some questions here. Okay. Gospel of Judas. All right. If Judas wrote it, when did he write it? He died before the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles to write and to teach, correct? Yes. All right. Why is there not anything in the other Gospels concerning Judas if he was the key disciple whom Jesus loved more than the other disciples? So this is a counterfeit concerning the Apostle John, right? So this is a Gnostic attack against the Gospel of John, which John's Gospel and epistles are what? They are defenses against the Gnostics. So you see how Satan resurrects this. He keeps it buried in here. He destroys everybody's faith in Christ coming up to this age and prepares the way for this great deception at the end. And now is saying, why did you exclude this? The key to remember is this. 95% plus of the scholars do not believe the New Testament. That's what you have to understand. Because they say there is no corroborative historical evidence. All right. Where is the corroborative historical references to Judas outside the New Testament? So the same standard by which they reject the New Testament, they embrace these Gospels that have been long buried. Now, I'll just read some excerpts here. Jesus is betrayed by one of his closest friends. Now, he is called a friend. And we'll read Psalm 41:9 a little later. In the New Testament Gospels, Judas is part of the inner circle of disciples of Jesus according to the Gospel of John. Judas' function as the treasurer of the group and was entrusted with whatever funds Jesus and the disciples might have had. All right. Now, hold your place here. Come to John 17. Let's get our perspectives for just a minute. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that he was God before he became human, if you believe that Jesus never sinned, which means he never told a lie. If you believe that the New Testament is, and you can prove that it is, the God-breathed words of God, then let's read what we have here. Let's read what we have here. Verse 11, John 17, just before he was betrayed and arrested. I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you have given me, so that they may be one even as we are one. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I protected those whom you have given me, and not one of them has perished except the son of perdition, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So the only other one called the son of perdition is in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, as we have already covered. Now the question is, who are you going to believe? Jesus or Judas? See, that's why they want to try and incorporate all of these gospels together. So what will happen, just like with the fifth gospel, that the Jesus Seminar put out, they put out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the so-called Gospel of Thomas in one publication. I have that book at home, and I've given sermons from it. Okay, let's go on. The Judas Iscariot of the Gospel of Judas is the betrayer of Jesus, but he is simultaneously the hero of the Gospel. He says to Jesus, I know who you are, and where you have come from? You are from the immortal realm of Barbello. I'm not worthy to utter the name of the one who has sent you. Unquote. In the spiritual world of the Gospel of Judas, to confess that Jesus is from the immortal realm of Barbello is to confess that he is a divine being, but not like the Bible says. And to declare the ineffability of the name of the one who sent Jesus, the unpronounceable name of the one God. See how Judaism has mixed in it? Gnosticism? Of the one who sent Jesus to profess that the true God is the infinite spirit of the universe. Jesus says to Judas, with reference to other disciples, you will exceed them all, for you will sacrifice the man that clothes me. Docetism. In other words, the spirit of Jesus only possessed the body of a man. He did not come in the flesh. So that's a Gnostic thing. According to the Gospel of Judas, Jesus is a savior not because of the mortal flesh that he wears, but because he can reveal the soul or spiritual person who is within, and the true home of Jesus is not this imperfect world below, but the divine world of light and life. Remember where we started. 1 John, the first chapter. For Jesus in the Gospel of Judas, death is no tragedy, nor is it a necessary evil to bring about forgiveness of sins. In the Gospel of Judas, unlike the New Testament Gospels, Jesus laughs a great deal. He laughed at the foibles of the disciples and the absurdity of human life. Death as the exit from this absurd physical existence is not to be feared or dreaded. That's why you have these suicide pacts that people get into. They get into this mystic Gnosticism, proclaim themselves to be Christians. Remember how many committed suicide down in San Diego some years ago? What was it? 30 plus? All committed suicide? Same thing. Release the spirit from the body. Far from being an occasion of sadness, death is the means by which Jesus is liberated from the flesh in order that he might return to his heavenly home. By betraying Jesus, Judas helped his friend discard his body and freeze his inner self, the divine self. Now, come to John 10. John 10, I've covered this before, but we'll cover it again. When you're refuting lies and heresies, especially coming from the heart and soul, if we could put it that way, of Satan himself, we need to back up what we're saying and refute it by the Word of God. Now let's pick it up here in verse 14. John 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine, and am known of those who are mine. And we covered how we know God, right? Because we have His Spirit, because we keep His commandments, because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He did not say, Judas is going to release me from the flesh. Judas had nothing to do with it. Judas was an instrumentality possessed of Satan the devil when he betrayed Jesus. Continuing now. Verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. On account of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may receive it back again. No one takes it from me. So Judas could not have done it. But I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it back again. This commandment I received from my Father. So Judas did not help him escape the flesh quote, Judas helps his friend discard his body and free his inner self, the divine self. Spark of life goes back to heaven in the stars. Now, here are some of the other Gospels. We mentioned some of them. I'll just bypass that for the time being. Okay. It says of Gnosticism, God is the spirit and light within, which then every man has. According to the Gospel of Judas, these rival Christians are simply lackeys of God who rule this world below, and their lives reflect his disgusting ways. In the central part of this Gospel, Jesus teaches Judas the mystery of the universe. In the Gospel of Judas, as in other Gnostic Gospels, that's why God had them buried in the desert. That's why they are excluded from the Word of God. But you see, what happened was, all of these Gospels that we have mentioned written by Gnostics were of the figment of the imagination of Satan-inspired and demon-inspired writers in assault against the truth. So for scholars and the Roman Catholic Church to go along with it, in the main, not all Catholics do. There are some Catholics within the Catholic Church who want to adhere to the Word of God, and I think God has raised them up as witnesses within their own group to be against what they teach. But nevertheless, this opens the door as to why, in controlling Christianity, you have left out these Gospels. Let's include them. Since Jesus teaches Judas the mystery of the universe, in the Gospel of Judas, as in other Gnostic Gospels, Jesus is primarily a teacher and revealer of wisdom and knowledge, not a Savior who dies for the sins of the world. For Gnostics, the fundamental problem in human life is not sin, but ignorance. Garden of Eden. And the best way to address this problem is not through faith, but through knowledge. In the Gospel of Judas, Jesus imparts to Judas and to the other readers of the Gospel the knowledge that can eradicate ignorance and lead to an awareness of oneself and God. Now, you watch PBS, and you watch these pull yourself up by your bootstrap things, and you watch Deepak Chopra. There's one man on PBS that I have watched a little bit, but I have to channel surf and get away from him. But he talks about the spiritual reality and the inner self and being able to be successful and all of this part. There's no sin that needs to be forgiven. You just need knowledge so you become better, you see. The Gnostics of Alexandria in Egypt did not triumph, nor did the Gospel of Judas in the theological wars that raged during the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries, just like I said. That's why God had the apostles canonize the New Testament, because he knew what was going to come. And consequently, texts like the Gospel of Judas, with their different perspectives, contain ideas that sound unusual today. For these believers in Gnosticism, the most profound mystery of the universe is that within some human beings, not all, is the spirit of the divine. Although we live in a flawed world, too often the dominion of darkness and death, remember where we started, 1 John, the first chapter. We can transcend darkness and embrace light. We are better than this world, Jesus explains to Judas, where we belong to the world of the divine. If Jesus is the Son of divine, so also are all of us children of the divine. All we need to do is live out of that knowledge of the divine, and we shall be enlightened. Very interesting. Judas does nothing Jesus himself does not ask him to do. So therefore, it's not Jesus' fault that he betrayed Jesus. Judas' fault that he betrayed Jesus. Okay? He listens to Jesus and remains faithful to him. In the Gospel of Judas, Judas Iscariot turns out to be Jesus' beloved disciple and dear friend. Now think what this is going to do to people not grounded in the Bible. Comment was made, this could only happen in a fair and balanced generation where all opinions are equal. And if you believe it, it is so. And if you believe it, it is true. Doesn't matter if no one else in the world believes it or know it, but if you do, it is truth. Additionally, the mysteries he learns from Jesus are steeped in Jewish Gnostic lore. And the teacher of these mysteries, Jesus, is the master, the rabbi. The Christian gospel of Judas. Now notice the sleight of hand. One, there is nothing Christian about the gospel of Judas. Two, Judas was never a Christian. The Christian gospel of Judas is at peace with a Jewish view, that is Jewish mysticism. An alternate Jewish view, to be sure, of Gnostic thought, and Jewish Gnostic thought has been baptized as Christian Gnostic thought. In this book, Jesus echoes Platonic conviction that every person has his or her own star, and that the fate of people is connected to their stars. After being lost for 1600 years or longer, the Gospel of Judas has at last been found. The authors of this volume hope that the Gospel of Judas may contribute to our knowledge and appreciation of history, development, and diversity of the early church and shed light on the enduring issues faced in that formative period. Let me read from the Gospel of Judas. Now again, Judas did not write this. It's not mentioned in any place else in the New Testament. There is only one surviving copy. Tattered and torn and fragmented, yes. And you will not find one word in here which coincides with any of the truth of the New Testament. Therefore, this has been inspired by lying, satanic, demonic spirits. Someone wrote this, inspired that way. When Jesus appeared on earth, he performed miracles and great wonders for the salvation of humanity, and since some walked in the way of righteousness, while others walked in transgression, the 12 disciples were called. He began to speak to them about the mysteries beyond the world. Now, when Gnosticism talks about mysteries, it's talking about the depths of Satan, not talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which Jesus said he revealed in his word and to his disciples and apostles. The mysteries beyond the world and what would take place at the end. Often he did not appear to his disciples as himself, but he was found among them as a child. So Jesus would change form and come in as a little child. So here, scene one. Jesus dialogues with his disciples the prayer of thanksgiving or Eucharist, bringing in Catholic doctrine. One day, he was with his disciples in Judea, and he found them gathered together and seated in pious observance. Now, what does that mean? Sitting in the lotus position? When he approached his disciples gathered together and seated, and offering a prayer of thanksgiving over bread, he laughed. The disciples said to him, Master, why are you laughing at our prayer of thanksgiving? We have done what is right. Jesus answered and said to them, I am not laughing at you. You are not doing this because of your own will, but because it is
it is through this that your God will be praised. So it's denouncing the true God in a backhanded way. Nothing but the words of Satan. They said, Master, you are the Son of our God. Jesus said to them, How do you know me? Truly I say to you, no generation of people that are among you will know me. Great revelation of Judas. Now, let me read a little bit more. When Jesus observed their lack of understanding, he said to them, Why is this agitation led you to anger? Your God who is within you and, blank, 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 have provoked you to anger within your souls. Let any one of you who is strong enough among human beings bring out the perfect human and stand before my face. And that is pure satanic doctrine that you can be perfected by knowledge. They all said, we have the strength. But their spirits did not dare to stand before him except Judas Iscariot. He was able to stand before him, but he could not look him in the eyes, and he turned his face away. Judas said to him, I know who you are and where you have come from. You are from the immortal realm of Barbello. I'm not worthy to utter the name of the one who has sent you. Knowing that Judas was reflecting upon something that was exalted, Jesus said to him, Step away from the others, and I will tell you the mysteries of the kingdom. It is possible for you to reach it, but you will grieve a great deal, for someone will replace you in order that the 12 disciples may again come to a completion with their God. In other words, saying that, Judas, if you know me, then you're going to know the true God, and the other disciples don't know God. So this is really something. You know, what we're doing is like in the movie Patton. Remember one of the famous sayings when they first turned back the battle of Rommel and the tanks? What was it that Patton said? He said, Rommel, you blankety blank, I read your book. See? So this is what we're doing here. So we won't get carried away with these things and give a warning to all. This is pure hype, lies, and nonsense promulgated by scholars and the National Geographic and other corporations to make money, and is a tool of Satan the devil to discredit Jesus Christ, discredit the New Testament, and put it in the same level that Jesus was, as we'll see later, combined with all of this, that Jesus was not the Savior of the world. Very interesting thought and analysis. When Jesus supposedly took Judas aside and taught him differently from the rest of the apostles, that made him the number one man, didn't it? And if he was made the number one man, why did he hang himself? Now remember, there was competition of Satan between Peter and Judas, right? Yes, didn't Jesus say, Peter, Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not? And remember when Jesus first disclosed that he was going to go to Jerusalem and die? What did Peter say? Lord, far be that from you. And what did Jesus say? Get you behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you savor the things of men and not the things of God. So Judas was the one that Satan got. Now I know it's going to be hard to endure, but let me read a little more of this Gospel of Judas. The next morning after this happened, Jesus appeared to his disciples again. They said to him, Master, where did you go, and what did you do when you left us? And he said to them, I went to another great and holy generation. His disciples said to him, Lord, what is the great generation that is superior to us and holier than us that is not now in these realms. When Jesus heard this, he laughed and said to them, why are you thinking in your hearts about the strong and holy generation? Truly I say to you, no one born of this eon, that is of this age, will see that generation, and no host of angels of stars will rule over that generation, and no person of mortal birth can associate with it, because that generation does not come from dash, 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 which has become dash, dash, dash. The generation of people among you is a generation of humanity, dash, 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 power, which, dash, 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 the other powers by which you rule. And when his disciples heard this, they were troubled in spirit and could not say a word. And it talks about a dream that they saw and the sacrifice that they saw. Now, what we are dealing with is the satanic inspiration of this to ridicule Jesus by making him look like a buffoon, that he laughed and disparaged the disciples. Now, what does this do? What does this do for people who read the New Testament who are not grounded in the truth? Okay? It makes them want to throw everything out. Now, continuing on in another thing here. Judas said to him, Rabbi, what kind of fruit does this generation produce? Jesus said, the souls of every human generation will die. When these people, however, have completed their time of the kingdom and the spirit leaves them, their body will die, but their souls will be alive and they will be taken up. That is, back to the stars. Judas said, and what will the rest of the human generations do? Jesus said, it's impossible to sow seed on the rock and harvest its fruit. This is also the way, dash, 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 the defiled generation, dash, 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 and corruptible Sophia. Now bringing in Sophia, the female, what? Goddess of Judaism and Greek mythology. The hand that has created mortal people so that their souls go up to the eternal realm above. Truly I say to you, dash, 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 angel, dash, 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 power, will be able to see that, dash, 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 these to whom, dash, dash, holy generation. After Jesus said this, he departed. Judas says, Master, we have listened to all of them, now also listen to me. I have seen a great vision. When Jesus heard this, he laughed and said to him, you 13th spirit, why do you try so hard? But speak up, I shall bear with you. The dash, dash, dash are missing words in the fragments. Okay, I'm almost done reading from portions of the Gospel of Judas Iscariot. Judas said to him, that is Jesus, in the vision I saw myself as the 12 disciples were stoning me and persecuting me severely, and I also came to the place where dash, 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 that's a missing fragment, after you, I saw a house, and my eyes could not comprehend its size. Great people were surrounding it, and that house had a roof of greenery, and in the middle of the house was a crowd, two lines missing, saying, Master, take me in along with these people. Jesus answered and said, Judas, your star has led you astray. He continued, no person of mortal birth is worthy to enter the house you have seen, for that place is reserved for the holy. Neither the sun nor the moon will rule there, nor the day, but the holy will abide. There also in the eternal realm with the holy angels. Look, I have explained to you the mysteries of the kingdom, and I have taught you about the heir of the stars, and send it to the 12 eons. Now just stop and think how the world has embraced all of this. How many people think, there are going to be some against it, but it's just like, how's this going to affect public opinion? Because they're the ones who are going to be deceived. It is going to further alienate them from anything to do with Jesus, anything to do with the true God, anything to do with the Bible, and it's going to set them up for the deception that's talked about in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, just a little bit more and we'll be done here. Jesus teaches Judas about cosmology, the spirit, and self-generation. Pure Gnosticism. Jesus said, "Come that I may teach you about secrets no person has ever seen, for there exists a great and boundless realm whose extent no generation of angels has seen, in which there is a great invisible spirit, which no eye of an angel has ever seen, no thought of the heart has ever comprehended, and it will never be called by any name. And an luminous cloud appeared there, and he said, 'Let an angel come into being as my attendant.' A great angel, the enlightened divine, self-generated, emerged from the cloud. Because of him, four other angels came into being from another cloud, and they became attendants for the angel angelic self-generated. The self-generated said, 'Let come into being,' and it came into being, and he created the first luminary to reign over him. He said, 'Let angels come into being and serve him,' and myriads without number came into being. And he said, 'Let the enlightened eon come into being.' He came into being, and so forth." Then, after Judas had betrayed Jesus, he was received up into a luminous cloud. That's the gospel of Judas Iscariot. The comment was, it's a bunch of dribble. The answer is, that's true. Now let's come to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Sets up the whole thing here. Now you can read all about it, verses 1 through about 4, after the pleasure society that we have today. Verse 5, having an outward appearance of godliness, which Judas Iscariot is, and the religions of today are, but denying the power of true godliness. But as for you, turn away from these, for from such men are these come those who are worming their way into houses and are gaining control over empty-headed women, given over to various sins, being led by all kinds of lust. They are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what did Paul say about the wise ones in the world who reject God? Proclaiming themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools. And we see it right here in this. Now, come down here to verse 13. But wicked men and impostors shall become worse and worse. We just read of it, right? Deceiving others and being deceived themselves. The heart and core of proclaiming how great the gospel of Judas Iscariot is. And why will people believe these things? Chapter 4 and verse 3, just across the page. For there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers, all the experts we have in the world today, right? Yes. Having itching ears to hear what satisfies their cravings, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned aside unto myths. And isn't that what he says in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter? Because they didn't have the love of the truth, they'll be given over to strong deception that Satan is going to bring on the world. This is one giant brick in the wall at the end, which is going to lead to the deception of the world. Next time, I'm going to cover the Jesus papers by another liar, another historian, who claims that Jesus did not die, he survived the crucifixion, and that he had offspring by Mary Magdalene. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney, 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624,
Wilro Park, postal code 1731, United Kingdom, post office box 8224, Witham, postal code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.